That is so awesome, a lock-in. Woo, glory. And Adrenaline Park afterwards. Man, we need to have 100 kids for that, Tracy, so that'd be awesome. Man, and youth camp's coming up. Ashley Terradez actually texted me this morning, said, hey, Pastor Hedge on my heart, and wanted to check on you. And so we're so privileged to connect with those people. They're wonderful, and going to have their son out here ministering. God is a good, good father. Amen. How many want to overflow in grace? How many want abundant overflowing grace? Anybody besides Pastor? Why don't you stand this morning? Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Amen. So we're going to read this today and talk a little bit about overflowing in God's grace, because he is so good and he's got so much grace for us today. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is good news. If you're not hearing good news, you're not hearing the gospel. Thank you for your enthusiasm. If you're not hearing good news, you're not hearing the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's the good news of Christ, and it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Thank God he added that. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how? The just shall live by faith. Hold up your Bible this morning. Say it with Pastor. We love to say this. Come on. Say it out loud to the Lord today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody this morning. Say it's not about religion. It's about Jesus. Isn't that the truth? Amen. Wow, you may be seated, and welcome today. So glad to have you today, and I love this summer weather. Hopefully you guys are loving it too. Let's believe for summer 365 days a year. Come on, somebody. Amen. I love that. It is just awesome. Listen, religion continually points to self and self-effort. That's what religion does. You know, many of us came out of religion. We came out of that self-effort thing, and God revealed his grace to us. Amen? Religion says if you try hard enough, you'll be able to receive God's love and blessings in your life. But you got to try real, 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 real hard, and there's really no assurance that you will, but you got to try real, 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 real hard. Anybody say amen to that? Grace, on the other hand, continually points to Jesus, who freely gives us through faith his love and blessings, not because of your effort to receive it, but because of his finished work on the cross that supplied it. Amen? So one of the greatest obstacles to receiving is to believe the lie of the enemy that you have to do something in order to get something. Because many times, it's just our human nature to think that we've got to do something in this world we live in, especially, in order to receive something, right? So when something has already been done for you, it's done. Only thing you have to do is believe that God already loves you and has freely given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. So there are forces that were trying to make Paul ashamed of the gospel. They're trying to down him on the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not the revelation of man's sin, but it is the revelation of the gift of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And the word salvation here, that word salvation encompasses and includes not just saving you from a hell, like a lot of people would like to think, but it includes our welfare, our wholeness, our prosperity in life, our preserving us against evil. It is all these things that are encompassed in the word salvation. So when we receive Christ, we get the whole package. Praise God Almighty. We receive healing. We receive prosperity. We receive all the blessings of Abraham come upon us because of Jesus Christ. Man, we are a blessed person. Turn to somebody and say, you're sitting next to a blessed person, whether you know it or not. Amen. So grace is not a topic. You know, this grace thing is out there big today, and so many people are preaching on grace and teaching on grace, and the revelation of God's grace is just overflowing, and I absolutely love it because so many years I was bound in religion. You know, I was bound in a denomination. I was bound in that area, and then God just poured this grace upon me, and when I saw it for the first time in my life, everything began to line up and make sense. And it is such a revelation, and you know, a lot of people want to talk about grace now, and they'll say, watch out for those grace preachers. You know, they're preaching cheap grace. Let me tell you something. There is nothing cheap about God's grace. There is nothing cheap. Somebody says, it's greasy grace. No. I remember, you know, years ago, you wouldn't remember this, some of you, but some of you might. But years ago, we used to raise money in the church by having chicken dinners. Anybody remember that besides me and Holly? Maybe you weren't around that time. You know, we're not showing our age, I hope, but that you are. So anyway, that's and I remember one of my pastor friends, he said, any church that's built on chicken dinners is built on a greasy foundation. I thought, yeah, that's all right. Grace is not cheap. Jesus paid the ultimate price. The unmerited favor that you and I might receive freely, the benefits of all of the gospel in Jesus Christ. It is not cheap. Amen. Grace is not just a topic. It is the gospel. Unlike the law, which came in beside, grace is the main agenda in God's heart. That is God's heart towards his people. God's heart towards you and me is forgiveness. God's heart towards you and me is healing. God's heart towards you and me is to walk in prosperity. God's heart towards you and me is to walk in the peace and the shalom of God. God's heart towards you is to love you incredibly. God's heart towards us is to pour out his blessings continually. The Bible says he continually, daily loads me with benefits. That's God's heart towards us. God is not a stingy, mean God. He's a good, good God. Amen. A good, good Father. And his desire is to bless us more than we could ever even dream, even imagine or think, the Bible says. He wants to bless your kids. He does. He wants to bless your kids. He wants you to bless your kids. He wants you to be in such a position you can bless your kids. And he wants to bless them as well. Hallelujah. He wants to bless your grandkids and your great-grandkids and your great-great-grandkids. Man, he is such a good, good father. And you know, religion will just point him out as a stingy, selfish God that you know, hey, you've got to really get in line in order to be blessed. You got to do this in order to receive. Grace is God's main heart. The Bible says, wherever sin increased, grace superabounds much more in that area. In that area. That is the good news that is so misunderstood by many. Even during the apostle time, that's why he was being attacked, because he preached this grace so much and so hard. People were accusing him. If he was now, they would say, Paul, you're teaching greasy grace. You're teaching cheap grace. So look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. He has made, everybody say made. He has made him who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Can you put this up in the New American Standard? Let's look at it at the New American Standard. It's pretty close, but I want you to look at it this way. He made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Become the righteousness of God. Actually, those two words, made and become, are very similar. Because if you look at another translation, I think it's the New English Translation, it says, he made him who knew no sin on our behalf so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But there's a vast difference, because what he's saying there, that become is almost like being born anew. It's like, it's the word like being born again. So when we are born again, when we are made new, which we are when we receive Christ, we receive the righteousness of God in him. Wow. Grace is God's doing. Turn to somebody and say, grace is God's doing. Religion is man's doing. It's all about the doing. But grace is God's doing. But when man takes over, it becomes religion, and it comes all about man's doing. It's not about man's doing. It's about grace and what God has done. And we are the reciprocal of everything that God has provided for us through grace. By faith. Amen? Hallelujah. So grace is God's doing, whereas the law is man's doing. It was the man that says, hey, give us that law, we'll be able to keep it. God said, all right, there you go. God's such a giver. Amen? And then man says, hold on a second. No, we're not able to do this, right? So the law is all about, and religion is all about man's doing. Grace is all about God's doing. Amen? Grace is God supplying, whereas the law is God demanding. Grace is God supplying, whereas the law is God demanding. So where sin increased, grace abounded much more. Isn't that awesome? Where sin increased, grace abounds much, much more. And so many times we can't picture this too well. How many of you know that David in the Old Testament had 10 sons? How many Bible scholars do we have here? How many know David had 10 sons? Anybody besides Pastor? David had 10 sons. But do you realize this? That God didn't choose the top son to be the successor. He chose Solomon. You guys realize that? Anybody understand that? Amen? Do you realize that Solomon was through an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba? And God looked past all of that and poured grace into that situation and raised up Solomon. So no matter what your past may look like, God's got a bright future in front of you. But you don't know, Pastor, the mistake I made, what I've done with my life, where my life has been, what's going on in my life. No. I do know that Jesus does know. And because of what Jesus does know, he looks beyond your faults and sees your needs and pours grace into that situation and is able to raise you up in spite of every mistake you've ever made. Come on, somebody. Amen. That is the Jesus we serve. It is a grace Jesus. It's not a law Jesus, but a grace Jesus. Man, he looked over those sons and said, I want that one right there. The one formed in adultery, God raised up to be king. Wow. What is that called, Pastor? That's called superabounding grace in our lives. Amen. How about Peter? Peter denied the Lord 3 times, yet he stood on the day of Pentecost, the day we celebrate today, and preached the good news, and 3,000 were born again, were saved. They received Christ into their life. Wow, it doesn't matter what mistakes you have made in your life, grace superabounds that area. Whatever weakness you have, grace superabounds that area. Amen? Look at John chapter 4. Let's go there real quick this morning and verse 1. Let's look at this story, and we're going to move on, but I want to point this out to you this morning. We've read this. Some of you know this, and it's a beautiful story. It said, therefore, when the Lord knew that Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he needed to go through Samaria. Isn't that amazing? So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Didn't Arthur talk about this last week a little bit? I can't remember. He may have. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied, isn't it amazing? Here we see Jesus in all of his humanness and yet all of his godness at this moment. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus at the well. It was about the sixth hour, or about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now, women would always come early in the morning and late at night, but she came at noon because she had a reputation. The town had put a reputation on her. And there was Jesus sitting at the well, and he said to her, "Give me a drink." He was thirsting. His humanness was coming out. And look what the woman said. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Oh, by the way, you got to have money to buy food. Let me rephrase that again. You got to have money to buy food. It didn't say they went to receive food. It said they went to buy food. You got to think about that, man. Jesus had these burly guys for 3 years with them, and he had a treasurer. You got to have some money to take care of that type of ministry. He had 12 guys on his staff, plus their wives, plus their children, plus their housing. Hey, just a thought, right? Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." You know, you may have been put a label on you, and people say, "Well, you know, your background, your past, whatever you are, you know, God really can't use you." I want to tell you, where weakness abounds, grace superabounds. It doesn't matter what your past is, what your present is, grace will take you higher. Amen? Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is you speak with and said, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." That is the Spirit of God, living water within us. Next verse. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water?" Wow. "Are you greater than our father Jacob?" And she wanted to get in this theological discussion. You know, turn to somebody and say, KIS. Keep it simple. Don't let Satan confuse you from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. Theological discussions will not get you anywhere but in a fight at times. "Who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Next verse. Jesus answered to her, "Whoever drinks of this water, this well, this religion, will thirst again." If you're drinking of religion, you'll never be satisfied because it's all about you and not about him. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up and into eternal life, flowing out of us." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water." I love her enthusiasm. "That I may not thirst nor come to draw, no work any longer," is what she was saying. Amen. Don't have to work at it any longer. I love this. Jesus said, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." You know, in grace, there's no shame. The woman said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband.' For you have five husbands, and the one who you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly." Can I tell you, there is no second-class citizens in the body of Christ. Can I tell you, if you've gone through a divorce, God still loves you and has got purpose for your life? What? Man, I grew up in such religion. If you were divorced, you could never be in ministry in this particular denomination. But I want to tell you, man, God can use divorced people. God can use shattered stuff. Amen? God loves you the way you are, and God's got a great future for you. The woman said, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." Well, wouldn't you too? He was reading her mail. He was just using in the prophetic gift right there. Amen. And our father, she said, she wanted to get off the subject a little bit. She got nervous and said, "Our father," I said, "worshiping this mountain, you Jews say, you know, hey, worship in Jerusalem is the place where should we worship, Lord?" That's what she was saying. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation has come through the Jews, Jesus Christ. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." We don't separate the two. We worship in spirit and we worship in truth. "For the Father is seeking such to worship him." God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him where? In spirit and in truth. We worship out of our spirit and we worship out of the truth of God. God's word is truth. Amen. Next verse, praise the Lord. The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Listen to this. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he. I am who I say I am." Wow. Powerful revelation to the Samaritan woman, who is considered an outcast, by the way, by the religious crowd. Right? Religious people are some of the meanest people there are. I've seen a few of them. Woo! Man, I don't like dealing with religious people. I've seen a few preachers that were religious people. Woo! Help me, Jesus. Man. Next verse. Look at this. "At this point, the disciples came. They marveled that he talked to this woman, yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' The woman left her," I almost said pot, but you got to be careful how you use that phrase in today's term, "left her little jug," her little water pot, "went away to that city and said to the men," she ministered to the very people that hurt her the most. Grace will allow you to minister to people that hurt you the most. Grace will empower you to go above. She left her water part that day, but she received an artesian living well flowing up within her spirit and within her life. Amen? Man, God is so, so good. Amen? Who you are is your standing this morning. What you do is your state. Your state fluctuates, but your standing does not. Your standing is secured in Jesus eternally. Your spirit man is sealed. You may get up one day and act like a fool, that it doesn't make you a fool. You're just acting like one. Amen? Why? Because in Christ, you've been complete in your spirit man. Amen? And when you understand and begin to know who you are, what you are, it begins to reflect on the outside to others. Amen. Sometimes you might lose it, but you'll never forget who you are in Jesus. You'll go right back to doing what you've been doing right before God, because it's just that simple. When you start believing right, we start living right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Man, you are so good, God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:6. "When the law was given on Mount Sinai, 3,000 people died. When the Holy Spirit was given, 3,000 people were made," what? "Alive." Amen. And we are alive in Jesus Christ. I want you to go, this morning, I want you to go back to, if you will, John chapter 8 and verse 1. Let's look at this story this morning real quick. Amen. We have this new covenant. We have this new relationship with Jesus, and he is so good and so wonderful. But Jesus went out to Mount of Olives. "Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery." Caught in adultery. "And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act.'" Well, if she was caught in the very act, either one of them was in the very act with her, or one of them was looking in, being a peeping Tom, with what was going on. right? So here's the Pharisee. So Moses' law, Moses and his law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say, Jesus? Wow, the law says if you commit adultery, you're stoned, you're killed. Stone doesn't mean that again, right? Stone means throwing big rocks at your head. That's what stone, I have to clarify this stuff, man. This they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Sometimes you just don't need to pay attention to your accusers. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Sometimes you just need to know who you are in Christ. Next verse. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, a lot of people have a lot of things about what did Jesus write. I really believe what he was writing was the law. I believe he was writing out the Ten Commandments as these guys were standing there. And he says, let those without sin among you be the first to throw the stone. Next verse. Then those who heard it being convicted by their conscience went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Wow. Here's God standing in the midst of this woman who the law said, you should kill her. Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. That was his focus. You know, when you mess up, you're God's focus. He loves you so much. Amen. He's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He loves you. Amen. When Jesus raised up, he saw no one but the woman. He said to her, woman, where are thine accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He gave her the power of no condemnation. And by giving her the power of no condemnation, he gave her the ability to go and sin no more. Isn't it amazing? When you look at the entire book of Corinthians, the Corinthian church, turn to somebody and say, the Corinthian church was a messed up church. They were a messed up church, man. I mean, there was a guy who was having an affair with, you know, an illicit affair. There was a temple worship and prostitutes things going on, all kinds of stuff going on. And, you know, when Paul wrote them, you know what Paul really said to them? Paul just simply reminded them, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? But when Paul wrote the Galatians, who Judaizers were coming in among them, he said, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? Wow. Why? Because they were trying to mix the law with grace. Who's bewitched? What strong language he used. But to the Corinthians, who were a messed up bunch of carnal people, he said, I want to remind you who you are. Wow. Folks, you know what we need more than anything else? Is to be reminded of who we are. Because when we're reminded of who we are in Jesus Christ, we walk like we are reminded. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's go to verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Thank you, God. Turn to somebody and say, thank God, Pastor has a good memory. Because all my notes went out the window about 10 minutes ago. So I'm so glad I've got a good memory. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down strongholds. Strongholds are fortified thoughts that continue to plague our minds and that we seemingly, you know, they're just placed there by the enemy. It's a fortified thought. It's a way of thinking that we thought so long that we're acting that thinking out and we become addicted to whatever we're acting out or thinking on long enough. Turn to somebody and say, that's really good. That's really good teaching there. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of those strongholds. To the pulling down of those strongholds. Mighty through God. Next verse. I want to give you spiritual warfare this morning. Here's spiritual warfare. So many people think spiritual warfare is chasing down demons somewhere. Now, number one, I am not afraid of demons. Number two, I realize that all power has been given to the church. I'm not afraid. Are there demon spirits out there? Yes. Are they in Christians? No. What Christians have a problem with is getting their mind renewed to what they have in Christ, and therefore they continually have problems, and they blame it on the devil because they haven't really renewed their mind to what they have in Christ. And the devil is an easy scapegoat. They get a Flip Wilson theology. Some of you do not remember Flip Wilson. He was a funny comedian, and his main line was, the devil made me do it. And that becomes Christian's main line. Well, the devil made me do it. I need deliverance in this area. No, what you need to do is change your thinking in that area. And when you change your thinking in that area, you change your life. Because a Christian, we can open ourselves up to the enemy if you want to, but who wants to? Who wants to? And when you know that he's totally defeated, Jesus said, all power is given unto me. So if he has all power, what does the enemy have? Zero power. So when you get the revelation that the enemy has zero power over your life, and you realize that you're thinking wrong, and that's what Paul is trying to tell us here, that strongholds are a way of thinking. There are demonic spirits. We have the power to cast them out. Amen. But they're not in the life of a believer. What have light and darkness to do with one another? Jesus said this, man, you can't be full of light and full of darkness at the same time. As a believer, you are full of light. You are a city set on the hill. Amen? What have darkness to do with light? Come on, somebody. Amen. You've got all power. A demon walked in here this morning. You don't have to wrestle with him. Say, come out in the name of Jesus. Boom. It's done. Woo. Casting down every high thing. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When you have the Word of God, the knowledge of God operating in your life, and you begin to line up everything that you know that you have in Christ and the finished work supplied by grace, anything that's going on in your life, any habit, anything that is detrimental to you can be cast down and broken when you start thinking about God's Word and replacing it with that thought that is against God's Word. And all of a sudden, as you begin to do that, your life just begins to line up naturally because God's giving you the grace, God's giving you the power, God's giving you the anointing within you, amen, to pull those things down and line it up with God's Word. And when you start doing that, you just start living right automatically, and all of a sudden you just walk out of that habit and realize, man, where'd that thing go? Amen? But so many people want to blame everything on the devil, or they want to blame it on God. It's God, it's your fault. Devil, it's your fault. Amen. Instead of saying, hey, let me take some responsibility right here, and let me get my mind lined up with what God's given me against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Christ's obedience has won the victory for us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I've got this grace given to me, amen. I've got the power of the Holy Spirit living within me, amen. I'm walking in the Spirit, praise God. I'm not walking under condemnation and guilt any longer. When those things line up, buddy, I'm telling you, man, life is good. Come on, stand with me this morning, amen. Let's give God some praise, hallelujah. It's not about religion. It's not about effort. It's simply receiving everything God has given us already through Christ Jesus. Amen? And spiritual warfare is casting down those strongholds that the enemy tries to put in your mind every day. Like, you get up tomorrow morning, and all of a sudden the first thought comes to your mind, oh, God, it's Monday. I don't want to get out of bed. Come on, somebody. Amen. You know that didn't come from the Lord. What you say is, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be not sad, glad. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I told you guys I thought we finally discovered I was Irish. I found out really, I'm sorry to break your heart, Kay. We're not, we're Scottish. I'm glad to be Scottish though. I'm proud of, you know, McIntosh means son of leader. Son of a leader. But we have a tendency. Now I'm Scottish and I'm told I've got some Indian in me. And I know I've got some soul there as well. But I know we have a tendency to have a temper. And I have to, you know, especially when somebody pulls out in front of me and gives me a finger. Come on, anybody Scottish with me? Right? So I really try to give them back the sign of the cross, right? Like, here's my fingers, right? So when we're living in this earth suit, we have sometimes challenges we have to get over. Sometimes we have to get beside ourselves and really get in the spirit, right? And stay in that spirit world, because the spirit world is really good. The spirit man is really good, amen? So this morning, you know, there's been a lot going on today, a lot of healing taking place, I believe, this morning, a lot of things. But here's the tendency, guys. So many times we try to take things on ourselves, you know, all the self-helps, all the self-improvement. And God says, I want you to just relax in my grace. I want you just to enjoy life. I want you to relax in my grace. I want you to enjoy the day. I want you to have a good time with your friends. I want you to have a good time with your family. I want, you know what God really says? It's okay to have fun. You can be a believer and have fun. In fact, I have more fun now than I've ever had in my life. Amen? Because of God's grace and because of Jesus. Amen? He wants to enjoy that. Would you raise your hands this morning? I want to pray with you. I want you to confess some things with me today. Say, thank you, Jesus. I'm no longer religious. I've been freed from religion. I've received God's grace, the fullness of God's grace, into my life. Thank you, Lord. The way you correct me is by changing my mind. Changing my mind is repentance. So, Lord, today I change my mind. I thank God. I know who I am in you. That you're good, that you love me, that you fully supply, that you're not stingy. You're my healer, you're my redeemer, and today I receive all the goodness of God in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Wow, isn't that good? Give God a good hand clap of praise. Let me tell you something. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that causes man to change his mind. Repentance is changing your mind. And so maybe you came in this morning and you just need to change your perspective. Hallelujah. Because we can start viewing in this world, we can get so down on ourselves and down on what's going on. Change your perspective. Look up today. Your redemption draws nigh. Hey, before you leave, there might be a new person this morning you haven't said hello to. And I thank God this COVID thing's coming to an end. Can somebody say amen to that? And maybe there's somebody here you haven't said hello to, or you haven't had the opportunity to meet. Would you, before you leave, before you walk out the door, if you'd be so kind this morning, take 5 extra minutes, say hello to somebody, and welcome them to Discovery Church. Would you do that? Let's do that this morning. Amen.